It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Hyperice, the leader in advanced warm-up and recovery technology. They have tons of innovative products, like Venom-heated wearables to help soothe sore back muscles, Normatec compression boots to speed up recovery and increase circulation, and Hypervolt massage guns to improve mobility. Loved by athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland. Try them yourself. Get 10% off your order with the code MOVE at hyperice.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, as you probably know by now, we have a new linebacker. So to discuss all of this, you know I'm one of the best content creators out there. You got mine, Ryan Holmes. What's going on, Ryan?
It's good afternoon to be a Raiders fan. They took a position of strength that became a weakness and now made it a strength again. So it's really good news heading into the early part of this schedule, especially week one.
Now, with so many linebackers, what do you think Gus Bradley's thinking is when they have assembled a bunch of quality backers now?
Well, it's a good problem to have. The Raiders haven't had depth at linebacker like this probably in my lifetime, and I'm in my early 40s, so it's good. I mean, once they get Morrow back, depending on how long he's out, they could potentially have five linebackers on this team that could start. For other teams, could be six if you throw in, you know, Perryman. I'd assume at this point the base defense is going to be at least early. You're going to see Littleton play the will. You're going to see probably Kwiatkowski play the mic. Perryman will back him up, and then Wright playing over on the strong side. And then Morrow adds a fifth linebacker. And then we haven't even talked about the young guys. So there's going to be a point this season where those guys come off the IR, and they're going to have Diablo, Muse, White, and Morrow there, and they're going to have to figure out what to do with them. Hopefully Morrow can regain that starting inside Mike linebacker position. But this is a great problem to have. The linebackers are going to have to be the strength of this defense, I think, especially early in the season, controlling the run game and controlling some of these quarterbacks that they're going to face. And it's really going to help out the secondary, I think, as well, where they're not going to have to be relied on to fill these running lanes and be run stoppers. And that doesn't even count John Abram, who's going to play up in the box in some eight-man front. So I really like this move for the Raiders. I think KJ Wright knows that he's going to play in the nickel. I don't think he takes a deal if he's only going to be in the base defense. So we're going to see Littleton and Wright on the field a lot this year.
With that said, if you could go down, give a synopsis on what they have as even the depth chart. What does the depth chart look like, and who do you think, how do you think they will each participate?
Well, I think Littleton's going to play pretty much 100% of the snaps. They're going to use him as the will linebacker, and then he's going to play in the nickel defense for sure. The middle linebacker, you're going to see, as I mentioned, Kwiatkowski and Perryman in some role. You could see Perryman play more snaps some week in the base, and other weeks you're going to see Kwiatkowski. I don't think either one of them is going to play in the nickel. And then on the strong side, you're going to see KJ Wright, and then he'll slide over playing the nickel, and probably Tanner Muse backing up KJ Wright, Devon Diablo backing up Corey Littleton. But I don't expect either one of those two players to play snaps on defense. They're going to be restricted to special teams only, which at this point is good for them. They need to learn the defense. They're behind quality veterans that understand this defense, and they proved in the last preseason game while they have upside, they're not ready to be counted on as regular contributors. And then when Nick Morrow comes back, he'll slide over into the middle linebacker in the Mike position. And Javon White will slide over to the Will position as a backup. Clearly, they can't carry eight linebackers on this defense. So I would expect one of those two guys, Morrow or White, will end up on IR probably for the season. We probably won't see one of those two guys back. And at some point, they might have to move on from Muse or Diablo and try to get them onto the practice squad. But, again, it's a good problem to have too many good players. And the Raiders need these kind of difference makers on defense. We just haven't seen them have these kind of players at every level of the defense now, with Crosby and Ngakoue along the line, Gerald McCoy. Wright is a really good player, one of the top 60 players in the NFL, according to their countdown. Corey Littleton, if he can get back to anything close to what he was with the Rams, can be a difference maker. And then we'll see about the secondary with a lot of young pieces back there. But I'm excited as a Raiders fan to see this defense. And these are players that we're plugging in Perryman and Wright, that don't have to learn a new scheme and don't have to learn language. These guys have played in this exact defense.
When I look at Gus Bradley, I look at somebody who he definitely has an identity. He knows what he wants to do. He knows who he is. But yet he's also flexible enough to realize that his certain type of player in a certain type of scheme, they have to be fluid situations, where his predecessor, Paul Gunther, was rigid. He wanted what he wanted, and it wasn't always conducive. It seemed as though he would want a certain player, and then his scheme didn't fit. What do you think Bradley's tenure, as far as the fact that he was a head coach, the fact that he knows the ins and outs of the defense, this defense, and he's really not a protege of someone who backed the defense early. It's more of this is pretty much his defense. What do you think that difference will pay off later on?
I think we're already seeing it. I think it's the simplicity of this cover three defense, where they're teachers. Ron Miles, Richard Smith, Gus Bradley are teachers first and foremost, and they can explain to these guys what their assignments are, and they're not doing, you know, 30 different things. If you heard Gus Bradley speak last week, he kind of took a shot at Paul Gunther, saying we're not going into a week running 30 different defenses. They're going to run primarily cover one, cover three, a little bit of quarters cover, some cover four. And then they're not asking these guys to learn different defenses and different schemes. They're going to be what they are, and they're going to allow these guys to play fast, and they're getting the right kind of players in here where they're going to be able to hit the ground running, like I said, with KJ Wright and Denzel Perryman. There is no learning curve. They know what this defense is. There might be on the back end, Trayvon Mullen's a young player. Trayvon Morig, young player, is a rookie that they're counting on a lot. Abram learning this defense. But for the most part, these are veteran players that are going to hit the ground running and playing this defense, whereas with Paul Gunther, you didn't know. And you've heard several players from Brandon Marshall, the ex-linebacker Will Compton, have made comments where, you know, he's putting in 30 different defenses every week, and they're learning. They're very complex based on formations, and they're asking players to do so much stuff. They're just thinking out on the field, and you can see how slow they are to react in their pass coverage responsibilities and a lot of blown coverages because they're handing guys off in different route combinations where the players aren't on the same page. I don't think you're going to see a lot of that, and you've seen that in the preseason where the Raiders haven't really been beat deep. They're forcing quarterbacks to throw the ball underneath and then rallying and tackling. And this cover three defense, they really want the quarterback to throw the ball into the flat and then rally and tackle. You need really good tacklers to do that, and they're getting guys in place that can tackle. I don't think we're going to see the 150 blown tackles or whatever the Raiders have missed the last couple of years. They've been in the top, you know, two or three in the league every year and missed tackles. I don't think we're going to see that. I'm really excited. I was hoping for a defense somewhere, you know, 20th in the league, and I think with the additions they've made that they could creep up a little higher than that and get close to league average and finish somewhere, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th in the league in defense. And if the offense can just be close to what they were last year, this is a team that should fight for a playoff spot for sure.
For me, it is interesting to watch how they have just changed the linebacking court. If we switch to the final 53, what one cut surprised you, and what one person staying on the roster surprised you?
I think the person staying on is Nick Bowers. It shouldn't really surprise me because I felt going in there was a chance Gruden was going to keep four tight ends. Just based on the fact that he's going to want to line up and run the ball. The Raiders led the league in 23 personnel last year, three tight ends, two backs, big heavy formations. They're going to want to run the ball in the red zone. And just looking at the body types, you know, Derek Carrier is not a run blocker. Darren Waller isn't a great run blocker. Foster Moreau can run block, but, you know, you kind of want to see him running routes too. So they didn't really have that big bodied, just get down there, grind it tight end who's going to be blocking defensive ends. And Nick Bowers is 6'4", 265, something like that. And he's shown reliable hands. He's a short intermediate route runner. He's not going to stretch the field by any imagination, but out of the group of tight ends they had with Matt Bushman, Alex Ellis, and then, of course, Nick Bowers. Nick Bowers stood out as the guy most likely to make the roster. I just didn't think that they were going to move on from a productive player like John Brown in order to keep him. Clearly, Brown, from all reports, requested his release because he was fifth or sixth on the depth chart. And that just opened up a spot for that extra tight end. As far as a guy who got released, I was kind of surprised. I'm still going to say Carl Joseph. I thought he played well against San Francisco. I understand that he wasn't going to get a lot of snaps. He's an okay special teamer. They tried him at Gunner in the San Francisco game. He didn't show that burst or the ability to separate and get down the field as a gunner. And if he's not going to be a big special teams contributor, I can understand why they went with Roderick Teamer. And it sounds like they brought Dallin Leavitt back as well today. So clearly special teams are a big focus right now. And that's my one concern. If I had to circle one concern on this team going into the first two or three weeks, it's special teams. The return units have not looked good. Now, granted, Hunter Renfro and Kenyon Drake haven't returned any kicks, but the coverage units have not looked good either. So they might lose a game here early on special teams unless they can clean it up.
I look at special teams. The big deal with me, though, Rich Versace having the ear of Gruden and being able to kind of cut out or carve a certain segment of the roster for his standout special teamers. Outside of a Dwayne Harris, the 99-yard punt return, he is kind of on the special teams that to make plays because the Raiders, with a risk-averse quarterback, they need to kind of get better field position because then that risk-averse quarterback might feel comfortable enough to find the ball going deep. And that, for me, it's important that they have some sort of decent starting field position. Now, what is your take on what Gerald McCoy has left?
Gerald McCoy looked really good against the 49ers. And he still showed the quickness off the snap and penetration and getting into the backfield. Now, is he the athlete he was when he was 24-25? No. He's going to have some plays where he creates initial havoc, but he just doesn't have the ability to turn the corner or get the guy on the ground. But he's going to get back there and create and disrupt enough plays to where he's going to be a solid interior option. I don't think you're going to see him lining up and playing 40 or 50 snaps a week, but in a rotation where you're asking him to play 25 or 30 snaps, he can do that. And he can line up and be really effective and push the pocket, which is only going to help the outside guys in Ngakoue and Crosby. And then you can kind of rotate. You have five defensive tackles in there, really four that can play on passing downs if you take Hankins off the field. But you're going to see a nice rotation of McCoy, Filon, Jefferson, and Thomas on the inside. Now, I would venture to bet that McCoy is going to get a fair share of those snaps, and he's going to be a presence in, you know, the 30 snaps a game. You're going to see him on the field. Now, we need to see him do it for 17 weeks. It's a long season. He's an older guy. There's going to be weeks where you probably see more of him, and there's going to be weeks where you see less. But if he can just stay healthy and be on the field for 25 to 30 snaps, he's going to make a big impact in the middle of this defense.
Now, when you look at John Brown, he's $3.5 million maybe it's $2.5 million of dead cap. That's $21 million in dead cap this year. With the adding of linebackers and various players, would you agree that the Raiders may have the worst player personnel office in the league?
It's not one of the better ones. If you look at some of the moves they've made, and then if you want to throw in some of these first round picks and judge them 2-3 years down the line, you can make that argument for sure. The fact that they brought in, and we'll just use Carl Joseph and John Brown as examples, they basically gave them guaranteed contracts for 1 year. Carl Joseph is counting almost $1 million against the cap because they guaranteed $850,000 of his base pay, and then they gave him $137,000 signing bonus. So you're looking at $987,000 in dead money for a guy that's not going to play one snap. When you bring in a veteran and give him a guaranteed contract like that, even though it's $1 million, you're expecting that player to be on the roster. Same with John Brown. They guaranteed him $3.24 million. It sounds like there's offset language, so if he does go to another team, the Raiders can recoup about $1.5 million of that. But either way, you're talking, you know, $1.75 million to $3.25 million, $2.4 million in money that you just can't use. And a year when the cap went down into the, I think, what is it, in the $180 million range, you went down $20, $25 million. You can't make those kind of mistakes. And they did. And they're looking at it right now, and they're trying to be creative. And kudos to them to being able to create their own to bring in KJ Wright. But some of these contracts we're going to start to see over the next couple of years as the cap goes up, they're still going to have some dead money carrying over, especially this Nick Kwiatkowski deal. There's going to be some dead money associated with this when he's not on the roster at some point in the next year or two. But the Raiders are doing what they have to do right now to make up for those errors. But you'd like to see moving forward that they don't make those kind of errors in judgment and continuing to bring in veteran players who just don't pan out, and then it's costing you at the end of the day and their ability to go out and add more depth to the roster.
When we come back from break, I want to discuss kind of a few things about the Baltimore Ravens and kind of similarities and kind of differences I see. You're listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on FPC Radio Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Reynolds. Ryan, we have mentioned so much about linebackers, and going into the game on Monday, or going into the game this week, I should say, or actually to be next week, the Baltimore Ravens, one of their better linebackers, actually the best linebacker is Patrick Queen. I'm surprised that he missed 21 tackles, and from what you've seen of film or what you know, what is it about him that could possibly help the Raiders?
Well, he's an aggressive, fast-flowing linebacker, and you can get him with misdirection, and you can get him off balance a little bit. If you have some guys that have a little bit of shiftiness to them, because of how fast and aggressive, and he'll leave his feet to make plays, or there's going to be opportunities for them to break some tackles. Now, if he can square you up and he gets you in his line of sight, he's going to bring guys down. But he does kind of fly around at top speed. You don't see him really break down and wrap up, and it's not always textbook tackling form. I think a guy like Josh Jacobs can break. He breaks tackles from anyone in the league, but he's going to have an opportunity where he's one-on-one at the second level where he can pick up an additional 5 or 10 yards. And then you actually see it a lot more in pass coverage too, where he has to play in space. And I know he's fast. I know he's got a good 40 time, but like I said, he does play a little reckless and a little out of control at times where the Raiders can take advantage of that. Darren Waller is going to have an opportunity in the open field as well. So if the Raiders can just, you know, receivers and running backs can just have enough space between them to make a move or two on Patrick McQueen, they're going to be able to pick up some extra yards. And they're going to have to do that. This offense, as good as it is, they can't go down the field 10, 12, 15 plays against this defense, because they're going to cause turnovers. That secondary is going to intercept passes. They're going to get to the quarterback at times. So we're going to need some explosive plays and some shorter drives. But we're going to have an opportunity to do that, so we'll see what happens.
No one blitzed more than the Ravens in 2020. They blitzed, according to Football Reference, 44.1% of the time. Do you think that the 30-year-old version of Derek Carr will now be relaxed enough to understand that the blitz is coming and to be able to not back away from it?
I do think so. I think Carr is pretty good at understanding where the blitzes are coming from, anticipate them, and he's pretty good at getting them in the right play. My concern would be more with Andre James, because Rodney Hudson's not there anymore to diagnose the front and understand where everything's coming from. So you have a center who hasn't really played in the NFL other than, you know, I think he's played 2 games. So can him and Carr get on the same page on these fronts very quickly? Because as the play clock's going down, they're going to have to diagnose where the potential pressure is coming from, if they're going to slide the line one way or another, what the hot routes are. The Carr's going to have to communicate with certain receivers based on the looks, and it's going to happen really fast. So I'm more concerned with can Andre James in this opening game do that. I don't know if Baltimore's going to blitz as much as they have against the Raiders, just because they're probably going to test out that line with some one-on-one blocking first. Let's see if James – let's see if Leatherwood can hold up one-on-one where they don't have to bring pressure. But at some point in the game, they will bring pressure. That's in their DNA. That's what Baltimore's going to do. And they have the corners on the outside and Humphrey and Peters to man up, lock guys up one-on-one, just bring the heat. But I don't think they're going to do it early. And if they can get pressure rushing four against Carr, against the offensive line, I don't think you're going to see as much blitz out of Baltimore as we have. They're going to try to stop the run game at that point.
For me, I like the Raiders' chances against Marcus Peters way more than Marlon Humphrey. Marcus Peters is the prototypical boomer bust corner. He's going to make the pick or he's going to get left. And there's no in between. Like, there's something about his game that doesn't scream sound ability to just focus and make the small gain. It's either he's going to go for the pick, house it, or turn it over anywhere, or someone will throw it over his head. I really think that Derek Carr needs to test him. Marlon Humphrey is different. He's not that same guy. He has a little bit of the Peanut Tillman in it, where he's physical and he will punch the ball out. That worries me with Henry Ruggs, because I know that a lot of Alabama guys know of each other, and I'm sure that they have crossed paths, but Peters is the one. He is definitely the one, and I'm interested to see how things transpire. I know that the Ravens also cut Pernell McPhee. That means that Jalen Ferguson is going to be their rush linebacker. I don't mind Colton Miller against him. I don't mind Leatherwood against him. I'm less concerned about the tackles than I'm concerned about the interior of the line. I have no faith in the center being able to deal with Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell. Do you agree, or do you think that the Ravens can do enough to stem that front?
No, I agree with you, especially the Peters part. I think what you're going to see in my opinion, is Marlon Humphrey, bigger physical guy, is going to match up with Bryan Edwards. You're not going to see Carr test that very much. They're going to target Peters, and I think you're going to see a lot of double moves, whether that's Renfro or Ruggs. But the line's going to have to hold up and allow those routes to develop because Peters will bite. He will jump routes. He, to me, is – I'm going to date myself here, but he reminds me of like a bigger Terrell Buckley when he came out of Florida State and went to the Packers. He was good for those pick sixes, and then he gave up two or three touchdowns right behind it. But when you needed a play, he made it. And Marcus Peters seems to be that kind of guy. He's going to get burnt. He's got a very short memory, and he's going to come back and make a play. And he's just going to keep jumping routes until a guy throws it to him. But he can be beaten. This pass rush, they re-signed Parnell McPhee today. I don't know if you saw that. But I'm not worried about the outside guys. There's no Matt Judon here. There's no Ngakoue. They got some bigger run-stuffing guys playing outside in that 3-4 defense. I'm more worried about the blitzes coming from the interior from the linebackers. And then how do they stop Calais Campbell? Because I'm sure Campbell's going to line up over the center. He's going to line up over whoever plays right guard, whether that's Simpson or Good. And he's going to match up some with Leatherwood. They're just going to create matchups against James and Leatherwood with their defensive fronts. As far as the running game, I have concerns on the interior. Are those interior three guys? And how healthy is Incognito? And can they get movement with Kalant, with Campbell and Williams? Those are big dudes on the interior of that line that aren't easily moved. The Raiders are going to have to go to outside zone here and try to get those guys moving laterally and then try to attack the edges of this defense. I hope they see a lot more play action. And I think the Carr actually matches up pretty well against the Ravens. He's 2-1 against them, but he's going to throw a lot of balls in the middle of the field. You're going to see a lot of Darren Waller and a lot of Hunter Renfro. I don't think this is the game where Raider fans can come away when Henry Ruggs gets three catches for 40 yards and Edwards might get two for 25. The damage is done in the middle of this defense. They're not going to be testing those two corners outside the numbers.
How do you see, if you had the early prediction of this game, what would you predict as a final score?
Well, I'm going to pick the Raiders. It's going to be a little bit of a homer pick, but I think they're catching the Ravens at the right time because the Ravens are down one of their two tight ends. Their whole wide receiver core seems hurt. Lamar Jackson's missed time. They don't have J.K. Dobbins. The Raiders are playing at home Monday night, first time the crowd's in there. You know, Derek Carr is going to come out, I think, throwing the ball around the yard, and the Raiders are going to be able to move it. I think the Raiders are going to win this game. It's going to be a lower scoring than people think. I think the defense is going to show out this first week. I think it's going to be something like 24-21, 24-20, somewhere in the low 20s. One of these teams is going to win by a field goal.
I think so. And over the course of next week, we'll definitely sit and talk about it. How can people interact with you on social media?
They can reach out to me on Twitter. The handle is at RHOLM22. Shoot me some questions. I'm free to answer anything for you guys.
This has been another episode of Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.